Last Word on Today FM.
Joining us for the week trending, Lise Hand and Dave Hanratty. And let's start with buskers. Lise, why are buskers in Cork the subject of targeting?
Well, there's been a litany of complaints and gripes about the two things, really. First, the level of amplification of really, really noisy, you know, drown out everything. Nobody can hear themselves speak in shops. But also the quality, that it's also quite horrific. It could be anything like a tin whistle playing the same notes, few notes over and over again, or way into the wee small hours of the morning. And the problem is exacerbated by the fact that there's very few fines that are actually imposed, even though there are bylaws and you need licenses and there are quite strict rules about busking. Very few fines are issued. And this is really causing quite a lot of angst. I mean, I suppose as a dub, I'd say the Cork accent is probably bad enough without having it blared at you while you're innocently en route by a going out top in pennies.
Brave. Oh, my God.
So I'm just saying that as a dub. And but, you know, overall, I will say in defence of buskers, I actually love buskers. I think they're great. I really like them on the street. I often stop and listen to the ones. If I'm going up and down Grafton Street, I stop and listen to them. And the quality tends to be excellent, actually, on Grafton Street most of the time. But I think there has to be some kind of, you know, a few bit of common sense applied. And if you have somebody there belting out, you know, the Banks or something at, you know, volume 11 over and over again, I mean, that's just unfair.
I'm tired of hearing the same songs over and over again. I'll say that much. There should be a limitation on that. Like, it should be, one of you can play the old triangle. That's it. It's gone for the day. Get into Sweet Child of Mine. Gone for the day. It can't be this constant procession of the same songs over and over again. Now, of course, there are people doing original music as well. Buskers can go one way or the other. They can be a scourge, they can be a massive irritation, or they can, in fact, entrance you. That is true. I like the fact that at least one complaint here did drill down into the quality control of this and said, the music's actually kind of crap, it's really annoying me. But it depends, because a lot of buskers think they are amazing, in my opinion. Some of them graduate to arenas, like a Dermot Kennedy. Others do not. But yeah, this is kind of it's a classic Irish problem, I think. And I enjoy...
Why do buskers exist in other countries?
Well, yeah. But I mean, I think the complaints aspect is more of a classic Irish problem.
Yeah, I think they do. But an awful lot of time when you go away, it's more street theatre you'd see, you know, jugglers and tumblers and so on like that. I mean,
Who are quieter.
And I mean, I think the guy with the guitar is great. I think there's somewhere, I think it might be Killarney that if you want to be a busker, you have to go and audition to the council, which I actually think isn't the worst idea in the world.
Like a music exam before you go in, yeah. So what you're saying, man, is you would favour a mime in this situation. You would want a bit of nice silent street theatre to just kind of support you as you go along your shopping thoroughfare. But there's an interesting kind of sidebar to this, because there's been complaints about street preachers as well. People who are...
That fascinates me. Tell me about that, because I'm not aware of seeing that around Dublin.
You do see it on O'Connell Street, I will say, certainly.
Oh, of course,
People with loudspeakers raving about God, and some people, I'm not saying all of them, but some people kind of being anti-LGBT and so on and so forth. And that is like the phrase noise pollution has come up quite a lot in this report, and it is noise. Like a busker performing to 15 instead of 10 is, of course, you know, a noise pollution thing. But yeah, you do get very, very, again, I use the word raving, you often just walk by them, but it can be a problem, especially for, like, local businesses are kind of complaining about this as well, saying that it's warding people away from my shop front, it's getting in the way of my commerce and so on. Like, most of us just kind of, you know, stick the earphones in, turn the volume up and walk past. But I guess if you're surrounded by this 24/7, in fact be a real problem.
You would think that busking is actually about music and performance, you know, not some manic street preacher, you know, railing against something that, you know, they don't like morally or whatever. I mean, that's not really, you know, amplified and over again. I mean, that is massively annoying. So I think maybe music only.
Listener says, there's a busker in Cork City who is absolutely amazing. He plays acoustic versions of all types of music from Alice in Chains and Metallica. He's not overbearingly loud. He's never in the same spot. He keeps moving within the 2-hour limit. I always stop and get a bit of great live street music. Always worth throwing him a few quid. Of course, I wonder, did buskers actually get money now in the way that they used to like that, given that everybody is now tapping cards rather than actually having coins or notes available?
Some of them have the taxi thing. You'll see the QR code in front of the basket and people will, which, you know, is quite forward
and there's
thinking
often,
of them.
Yeah, you often get like a weird decal as well, being like, here's my Instagram page, here's my socials, whatever. So like, yeah, it's not just I have my guitar anymore. There has to be kind of a like a literal shopfront for you to in your small kind of cordoned off area, I guess.
Yeah, there are some people saying it's not great if you're in the shops listening to the same people playing the same music time and time again from outside.
There's a security guard on the door somewhere and you've got some lad, you know, doing Molly Malone, God love him.
Okay, what about the return of the tea trolley on the Dublin-Galway line, which we heard about in the news yesterday? It's been back on the Dublin-Cork line for quite a while, and I think it's on the Dublin-Belfast line. But if you're taking a train, how important is it that you can get a cup of tea? I mean, can you not just get one in the station beforehand?
Am I crazy for not understanding why this is news? Like, I don't get it. Now, I've started using the train again because I moved back to Drogheda for a bit. But like, so I get the train into Dublin fairly often now and back. And I must say, I actually quite like a train journey. I'm usually getting out of the way of the refreshments trolley if there is one, being like, oh, sorry. But I don't understand this need. This absolute
it's big
want.
News. It's huge news. And also, by the way, I mean, not everybody gets on the train, alights the train, or that's getting off the train, but gets on the train at, you know, in Dublin or in Cork or in Limerick. They quite often are getting on maybe somewhere like, you know, one of the smaller stations like Clare or something that don't have, you know, a whole wide range of offerings of teas, coffees and so on. And there's sometimes you can be on the train and you're only gasping for a cuppa and you're looking for the trolley. I mean, it's sort of like being on a plane.
Bottle
and you're
of water.
Waiting on to see the curtains part
bottle
of
water
the drinks trolley coming down.
In the shop en route to the train station. That's what I always
well,
do.
Well, there's an awful lot of last minute
or bring
merchants.
A flask, is it, Dave?
I haven't gotten to that stage of my life yet, but
well,
at some point maybe
I will.
Well,
there's an awful lot of last minute merchants, including myself, that literally are probably make the train by the skin of my teeth every time. And
I'm not anti
past.
This. I just want to point out, I'm not against the concept of it existing. I just was very surprised that there's been a proper... I know we're in August, but...
No, this is an important news story because there was a lot of angst when the trolleys disappeared, obviously during COVID times, and there was great rejoicing when it returned on the Cork line because that obviously serves, you know, people going to Limerick and Killarney as well. So I think that's
maybe
it's a big
nice,
cultural moment.
Maybe it's a nice tradition moment. And people kind of feel like there's a romance to it or something. But
a cup of tea and a snack, sure. Where would you be going?
Okay, let's talk about Mark Zuckerberg, the boss of Meta, who's facing a major trial at present in the United States about the way Meta has been behaving itself, particularly in relation to children. But he's exceptionally rich, and I suppose it's chump change for him, but he may have spent as much as 20 to 30 million euro in buying what in County Waterford, Lise?
He has bought a Gothic-style mansion, which has 178 hectares, and it's basically a castle. This castle wasn't up for sale or anything like that. It seemed to be a private sale. He bought it off a venture capitalist, a couple who were venture capitalists, Michael and Giancarlo Allan Buckley, who had been living down there for...
But why? Why does he want it, right? Because I actually started doing a bit of digging into what he owns already, mainly because I'd read a book last year called The Haves and the Have-Yachts by Evan Osnos.
Yeah.
Great book. And it went in some of the detail of what he actually owns. So he owns a ski retreat in Montana. He has a four-story townhouse in San Francisco. In Palo Alto in California, he has a house that initially cost him $7 million to buy, but then he bought up all of the other houses around for another $44 million to have this big compound for himself. He has a yacht called Launchpad, 387 feet long. It cost him up to $400 million to buy, which he can go around the world on. And he also has bought an island or a large part of an island in Hawaii. He spent $300 million buying the land and another $100 million on buying two mansions which have underground tunnels and have all sorts of bunkers for the end of the world and stuff like this.
Well,
but what the hell does he want Waterford for?
He's hedging his bets because this is, you know, this is basically trying to buy as much property as possible. So when the apocalypse arrives, he can basically go to the one that's still standing.
And that's nearest to him.
It's not even that deep, though. Like, everything you said there in terms of the level of expense, this is like me going to the shop and going, okay, I'll buy an extra item that I don't need. Like the comparison, 10% of the cost of the yacht, that's what this thing cost, this gothic castle, which for all of us is a sum that we could never possibly imagine. And for him, he's like, yeah, I'll buy a castle. I don't know what the castle thing is interesting, because I think back to Nicolas Cage, who, one of the reasons why Nicolas Cage, you'll see him in a prestige picture, but you'll see him in all these terrible films, is like the story was that he became addicted to buying castles and had to just do all these movies to pay off like his tax on those castles because it was just bleeding him dry. Some people get addicted to, you know, just like wearing nice clothes. Others with this amount of largesse go, it's got to be a castle for me, mate.
Well, it's amazing. And around that area, I mean, it's quite amazing when you look at, you know, the piece, the news broke was Ronald Quinlan, fair play to him in the Irish Times, who broke the story. And, you know, he was sort of mentioning, you know, others like the Blackwater Valley, there's a house there owned by James Dyson, entrepreneur James Dyson. A little further north, John Collison, obviously co-founder of Stripe. He owns a big one up in Abbey Leaks in County Leash. You've property magnate Stephen Vernon, who also lives close to, he's going to be a new neighbour now of Zook. And then you've got, of course, billionaire John Malone, who actually told the Wall Street Journal last summer that Zook tried to buy his house, Lismore House, off him.
No, it was Castle Martin, Tony O'Reilly's old house that he wanted to buy from him.
I'm kind of wondering, you know, what I was trying to think what they might now try and put a name on that, you know, around the whole Waterford thing.
Okay,
I was thinking maybe Silicone Blally, maybe.
No, that doesn't work. No, apparently it's for when he's visiting the European HQ of Meta in Ballsbridge in Dublin, which somebody's going to have to tell him is a bit of a distance from Waterford. Maybe he's going to travel by helicopter.
Yeah.
But I would suspect that he's going to have to do major security measures. That's what these billionaires do. And I wonder, though, the planning applications, I suspect, are going to be wonderful in for what he's likely want to do to upgrade the castle and the surrounding land. And will the planning board on Bord Pleanáil, or whatever it's called now, will it actually try and stop him from making changes to bring things up to the standards he might have in other countries?
Well, I mean, it may, you know, again, I suppose, I mean, this guy is worth 187 billion, right? So, I mean, the castle essentially cost him what he earns in a day. So all he has to do, well, I'm saying all he has to do, but he may just do the time-honoured practice of sort of greasing the wheels by building some sports community centres, you know, getting the goodwill of the locale. But also, I'm not sure he will need that much because, I mean, he was buying it off a billionaire, essentially. And I'm quite sure there's, that they have panic rooms and all kinds of escape tunnels in the castle already. Because apparently the previous owner did spend an awful lot of money in putting it, in bringing it up to speed.
Well, actually, a lot of listeners also pointing out as well now with the reopening of Waterford Airport. And as it happens, it's an American oil baron who has actually funded that as well. Hasn't been officially ever disclosed, but that's who it is.
Oh.
I just don't see this being anything more than a monopoly piece, like a place on the board for him, a status symbol to have in the background. It could well lead to some kind of incredible development in the area, but I just think it's just like, I've got a castle in Ireland. Isn't that cool? Something to talk about, like at parties.
Okay, listener says, the tea trolley is very important for those of us who travel long distances. For example, train from Sligo to Dublin is over 3 hours with no food services. We don't all use the commuter services around Dublin, Dave.
Listen, I'm from Drogheda. I'm suffering as it is, guys, okay?
Elise, I reckon little or a few things give the bookmakers Paddy Power more pleasure than to be chastised for doing an ad that is regarded as breaking the rules. They love breaking the rules.
Oh, look, I mean, they've clearly taken, you know, a leaf out of Michael O'Leary's, you know, big book of wind-ups, essentially. So, you know, this basically had their knuckles wrapped by the advertising standards authorities for an ad that has deemed to have breached their standards by painting English people in a negative light. So this revolves around the World Cup, and they put up an ad and it's having a go. Basically it said, let's go Japan, polite, organised, clean up after themselves, the exact opposite of England.
And what's incorrect about that?
Yeah, and I mean,
sorry, I'm just back from Japan. I spent 2 weeks on holidays in Japan. It is the most wonderful country. It is polite. It is organised. It's exceptionally clean.
You could eat your dinner off any floor. Easily. And I do notice in the story it was a complainant, one, as in singular, seemed to have...
There's always one, isn't there?
There's always one. But you know, my attitude to this is like, I mean, it's... I don't... Like, the fact there's only one person... Obviously, it's Mr. Outraged of you know, Milton Keynes or whatever, because most people would look at that and they'd have a laugh.
And I mean, it's racist and derogatory towards English people, according to the Advertising Standards Authority.
Did not respect the dignity of all persons and was likely to cause ridicule. All persons. So this is essentially, look, I will say up front, I'm not a fan of Paddy Power's advertising campaigns, their marketing gimmicks, their wacky social media presence. I find it eye-rolling in the extreme. But this is nothing. This is very little. But essentially, what you're getting into territory now where it's like, well, if that's xenophobic, well, then I guess everything is. And I'm not here to advocate for, you know, punching down on someone because of their nationality or anything. But this is so tame by even their standards. I can't believe it. And it's funny because you were saying like the thing about Japan being an exceptionally clean place. And it's like, yes, it is. There's actually an amazing film I'd recommend called Perfect Days if nobody has seen it. It's about a toilet cleaner in Japan. And it's one of the most romantic and lyrical films you will ever see. But in saying that Japan is great in this context, it's been deemed that you're saying England sucks and everyone's disgusting and there's no hygiene and whatever. It's just a gag. There's nothing to it. Like, it's so throwaway. And yet, some bloke, or we don't know, rang up and said, I'm offended. Yeah. And now it's...
And of course, Paddy Power delighted themselves.
Of course,
now.
here we are talking about it.
This is, you know, they're now, I'm sure we're going to see all kinds of billboards rolled out. I mean, you know, because imagine the Irish going to Twickenham or something and they have something out there going, you know, the Irish... You know, the only try you're good at is trying to get a last drink at the bar before closing time or something. You know, I'm just saying that you're going to sort of see, I'm quite sure these sort of so-called banter ads, maybe they've been around forever.
They've existed for years. Yeah, like I remember like a Family Guy joke where the plane lands in Ireland and it lands on a runway and it's just nothing but beer bottles. And I laughed at it because I was like, it's absurd. Like it's to take that seriously and be like mortally offended. You're like, it's an exaggeration. It's a stereotype. It's not that big of a deal. But again, part of me wonders if Paddy Power themselves complained about it.
Something we discussed on Tuesday's programme with Marion McKeown and Carl Thomas in the American Spot was Donald Trump and Natalie Harr. And this story has continued over the week. And I think there's a degree of the Streisand effect in this, isn't there, Lisa, in that the White House got so angry on Natalie Harp's behalf that everybody now wants to know what's going on between her and Donald Trump.
Yes, I mean, apparently there were... The Google searches on Natalie Harp went up, spiked by 5,000% afterwards, because nobody had actually heard of her until the Georgia Senator, Joe Ossoff. I mean, he stood up and it was, you know, in the middle of a kind of perfect TikTok sort of clip, said, you know, about Donald Trump, he doesn't want to do the job. He wants to build his ballroom and travel with Natalie on their apparently defenceless flying palace.
That's all he said, was travel with Natalie. Yeah. And yet conservatives are going, this is an outrage. How dare he make an innuendo or implication? What innuendo or implication, Dave?
That Donald Trump has a staff with lots of blonde women in their 30s? I don't know. I mean, like, let's take a look at the stat sheet, shall we?
Yeah.
One of whom, Caroline Leavitt, was the one who came out and said, leave her alone, she's class. So if anyone doesn't know who this woman is, because I didn't until this week. So she's 35, but 6 years ago in 2020, when she was 29, she spoke at the Republican National Convention in Washington. She then joined One American News Network, which is far right or right wing, sorry, news network in the States, which is very, very pro-Trump. She is now Trump's executive assistant, essentially. And that means they refer to her apparently in the White House as a human printer, in that she will give him everything he needs, you know, like in front of him, here you go, that you need this for this meeting, this for this meeting. But people are kind of making the point that actually she's privy to the most important secrets in the world and doesn't have the security clearance that she should have in order to access such things. And I like the implication in all of this that maybe she's in fact a spy and maybe we're getting back to old style politics. But instead, most people are just like, is there a relationship here? Melania resurfaced, by the way. I don't know if you saw that overnight.
Yes.
And said,
yeah. Hadn't been seen in about a month.
No. And then she resurfaced and said to the media, I heard you guys missed me. So it's all just an unbelievable soap opera. It's another day in Trump.
Yeah. And the more they sort of people Google her and look her up, like, you know, the stuff is quite crazy. Some of it is really mad. I mean,
she used to sleep in the changing rooms in Bedminster Golf Club.
Yeah,
at one
and
stage.
When he was, you know, when he was going to court in New York, one of his multiple court cases, there was a screaming match. Apparently, I think CNN reported on this that there wasn't room in any of the cars for her, and there was a screaming match, and she climbed into the trunk of one of the SUVs to travel to the court because she just
as you do.
You mean as you know, as you do.
Initiative.
Like motor. total initiative. And also another of the webs, the
sorry,
US
she's
webs.
She's also responsible, though, for an awful lot of his offensive tweets. She's the one who types
she's the one that,
in
that actually
in.
Taps him out. And this is not, I mean, you know, as Dave said, this isn't some, like, you know, starry-eyed 17-year-old. Like, she's 35. And a couple of letters she wrote him a couple of years ago surfaced. And they're frankly disturbing because they're the sort of stuff that you would write if you had a crush on somebody when you were about 14.
It's hero worship, yeah.
I mean, it's actually, some of the stuff was really creepy. I mean, one of them said to him, and please, when I fail, will you tell me? You have the absolute right to cuss me out if need be when I deserve it, because no one knows or cares about me more. With all my heart, Natalie.
I feel sick.
It's a 35-year-old.
I feel
really
ill.
That to an 80-year-old man.
Is she coming to Doonbeg, though? That's the question. Like, will she,
yeah, it is a good question.
A good question. I mean, yeah.
Will there be room for her in the catering car that they bring onto the aircraft?
Because, like, Melania's not going to come, is she?
God, no.
So perhaps this is... Because, like, the word now is that she's the new star of the Trump administration, but no one seems to know what her own personal motivations are because she doesn't appear to have any individual agency beyond worshipping Donald Trump and... You know, being his conduit.
Is that not a good enough reason?
Oh, there are many Americans who would say it is, yes.
But also, it's done Joe Ossoff no harm either, because most people didn't know. I mean, one of the Fox hosts, Jesse Walters, was mournfully saying that, you know, in 6 years of doing the show, he'd never uttered the name Joe Ossoff in 6 years of presenting one of the main anchors, Fox anchor shows. And he's been nonstop talking about him now for the last
week. That's because it's John Ossoff.
Oh, John Ossoff. Oh, my
sorry.
God. I will see myself out. It's been a long week, Matt. I'm really sorry.
That's okay.
But you know, again, like, there you go. So it's actually, the Streisand effect has been great for him.
Okay, we only have a couple of minutes left. We had Nick Ferrari on with us yesterday telling us about Harry Windsor and his wife Meghan from Suits returning to the UK. What timing then today? It turns out that he and a group of others are going to have to pay £9.5 million in costs to the Daily Mail for a failed legal action against them.
£9.5 million to start with. It's £34.5 million in total. Now they can appeal that total, but £9.5 million is due next week, I believe. And yeah, what a welcome home this is. Now, some of the headlines have been a little bit misleading, as you might expect in this situation, but it's not just Harry. It is also Elton John. It is also Sadie Frost. It is also Elizabeth Hurley. And this goes back to the case that was dismissed last month, in which they effectively said, we were hacked and you did untoward things into our personal lives, and it was thrown out. I was kind of surprised it was thrown out, but it was, and that was a very, very interesting moment for the press and for the celebrities and so on and so forth. But yes, they will have to cough up because the trial apparently cost, the whole case apparently cost about £50 million total. Daily Mail were said to have spent £34.5 million. That's where that comes from. And so all the legal costs have to be recouped. It's a civil case as well, it should be noted, not a criminal case. And yeah, I mean, unless something massively changes here, they're on the hook for quite a lot of money.
Last for two, Lise.
The one thing that fascinates you about this is obviously, with complete press meltdown, why are they coming back? Why? Everybody was completely and utterly had no idea why. And then I think it was Sky Australia broke a story this afternoon saying that Meghan had accepted a role in some top secret UK television series.
And celebrity traitors.
Do you know, it wouldn't even surprise me. But apparently, so I'm wondering now, is this the reason they're coming back? Because no one could figure out why. But apparently now she actually has a big TV role.
Because there was speculation that the Netflix deal, that there might be another documentary, but I'd say I put the money on Celebrity Trainer.
Return to acting seems to be on the cards for her, which is going to be interesting because she's been out of limelight for so long, and you just wonder, like, will the Hollywood machine go, ah, we're done with you? But then again, people will want that name on their show.
Yeah, so I mean, it could be, actually after everything she said about, you know, not never returning to Britain and all that, it could be very well her that's actually has motivated the move.
Lise Hand, Dave Hanratty, thank you.
The Last Word on Today FM.